This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. There was an afternoon game yesterday in Cincinnati that got delayed because of a swarm of bees. And it was delayed pretty heavily. These bees were everywhere, and so the game had to be delayed. Fans were told it was going to be delayed because of the bees, and they had to corral them by finding the queen. Now, there's a really tricky way of doing this with the bees. I didn't know this until I read this in The Athletic, which had a great article on this, because I was fascinated by it, because I was like, man, bees, we want to protect bees, right? They're the ones that pollinate the, you know, we always hear about if the bees go, we all go. So you want to protect the bees, so you can't just spray them dead. You have to kind of harvest them. You got to bring them in, got to corral them in. So they had to find the queen. They built this box, and they had to just get the queen, and the bees would follow the queen. But for 18 minutes, this game was delayed for the swarm of bees. Now, listen, one of the worst things you can do is spray bees, like pretend like you're spraying them, because if you get them agitated, they'll sting everything. And so there was a lot of care that went through this. Listen, I know this. If I was at that stadium, there would be a number of people trying to corral the bees, but I would not be one of them. I would be inside watching people try to corral the bees. I have no interest in that. I have a lot of credit for people who do the beekeeping thing, like as a hobby, like in their backyard, where they're getting like beehives and they're getting bees and they're harvesting bees or whatever they're doing with them, you know, creating more bees, making honey. I give them a lot of credit. I don't think I could do that. I just don't. I don't know. Even in a suit or whatever. But props to the Reds and props to the people around the Reds for being able to pull this off. They got it all done in 18 minutes. I thought it would take like 2.5 hours. But they did a good job. They saw the bees, were able to get them together and bring them in. A Cincinnati Reds employee had this problem in 1976, but because they got crazy and tried to spray the bees, a number of players got stung, resulting in a 35-minute delay. So you got to be careful when you corral bees. But good job in Cincinnati for making this happen. All right, coming up, the NBA playoffs are getting really, really exciting with series going to 2-2, except for one. How did Milwaukee pull this off to make a 3-1 lead over Boston next?
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. The NBA playoffs last night saw the Rockets thankfully even up their series with Golden State. I think I would have felt cheated as an NBA fan putting up with this entire season to get Rockets Warriors at some point in the playoffs, only to have the Warriors win this thing in like five.
It would have been such a bummer.
Crushing. 82 games I've been waiting to see the Rockets and the Warriors meet in the postseason. And just this, it would have been bad. So now it's interesting. Now this is really good.
Well, it goes back to Golden State, and let's just assume Golden State's going to win that one. And all we want is Game 7.
That's what I want. Yeah, absolutely. Give me another Game 7.
We know it's not going to be wrapped up in 5. Please, dear God, don't let it be wrapped up in 6. Unless it's the Rockets, because we got Warrior fatigue.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Warrior fatigue is a good way to put that.
As much as we have Boston fatigue, we have Warriors fatigue.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to put that. I told my daughter, who jumped on the bandwagon a couple of years ago, I said, you know, when that team is broken up and they're not winning anymore, are you going to still root for them? Because you can't jump off that ship now.
Yeah, you got to stick with them forever.
I'm still going to be with them. I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see when Milwaukee starts taking over the reins of the best NBA team. You'll be jumping on that ship.
Jumping on the Giannis bandwagon.
Yep.
It's not even so much the Bucks, it's just Giannis.
Yeah, it is Giannis. That's it.
Giannis is fun. There was a good 60 Minutes piece on him like a year ago. Yeah. And I thought, okay, now he's starting to get, you know, when 60 Minutes does a profile on you, you're starting to make it big. So Boston, you're dead. You're down 3-1 against Milwaukee as they figured you out. Too bad.
It's over, Johnny.
It's over, Johnny. I give Brad Stevens a lot of credit, though. He's he turned out to be a very, very good coach for the Celtics, even though this one will end a little short. He's done a very good job.
And then the whole thing's going to get blown up.
Yep, and it's probably going to get blown up again. So Durant and the Warriors will have game 5 coming up on, what, Wednesday in Oakland? Yeah, Wednesday. Now, the Toronto-Philadelphia series, I think, is interesting. We'll see if Joel Embiid has a headache or maybe he's got a tummy problem again.
Hangnail.
Or what else could he get? Spanish flu. Whatever. Get
a
sick.
Blister.
Yeah, maybe a blister on his thumb.
Ingrown toenail.
Ingrown toenails are the worst. That's a bad thing.
That one hurts, and that's going to – that could that wouldn't hopefully wouldn't sideline him.
Yeah, so
he would lose a lot of man card points if he let that sideline him.
God, I really, really like I love Joel Embiid healthy. Like, I don't like the fact that he's sick, healthy, sick, and that's been the narrative of the last three games of the series.
Yeah, because this
Kawhi's been playing great. I mean, Kawhi's been playing fantastic. So I need Joel Embiid to be healthy.
This is the odd game, so I mean, I'm just saying odd number game. So Embiid's supposed to be sick this one, right?
Right.
Or is this one he's supposed to be?
No,
healthy?
This one he's supposed to be healthy.
This one he's supposed to be healthy. Okay.
He had something wrong with him last game, game 2, and in game 4.
All right. So it's the even numbers he can't play.
That's right.
It's a little superstitious.
Then later on tonight, Portland and Denver. And I know it's a late night for a lot of you, but that's been a very, very good series. It's been a good series.
Yeah.
So,
did you see the other day? Jokic had a little mic trouble.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. I saw a little bit of that. Yeah.
Oh, those American mics.
Yeah, I know. God. Yeah. He's kind of a character.
We were saying this before. You know, the Nuggets are a lot like the A's to us. We just don't know who. It doesn't make sense for us for them to be good. But, you know, watching a few of these games, you're like, okay, you know what? I could see how what I want them to do at some point is when they get into the huddle, just, you know, when they're breaking out of the huddle, just go, team!
Yeah, no kidding.
Because that's
exactly
what it feels like. It feels like Hoosiers.
And the whole thing about the Nuggets is, listen, if they get by Portland in this series, I don't care who comes out of Golden State Houston. I don't think the Nuggets win that series, but I don't think they go away in 4 or 5
no,
either.
No, not at
right?
all.
So that makes the Western Conference Finals very, very good. Now, look, it'll be good with Portland, and it'll have a little bit more star power. Or you can make the argument that Jokic is really starting to climb up. People are really starting to take notice of the way he's playing. Those who have been watching all season, who've kind of heard about him but never really watched a game, they're not on national TV a lot. They were not on national TV a lot. So this is really a lot of people's first chance of seeing him play, are really kind of taken by his ability. But the Nuggets are going to give the Rockets or the Warriors all they can handle, because there is a lot to like about the way they're playing basketball. Now, I think in the end, the Rockets or the Warriors are better and will win that series, but Denver's not going away quietly. And that makes this season a validation of that 2 seed this whole time. I was worried what would happen to them if they were eliminated by San Antonio. If they had gotten eliminated by the Spurs in the first round, you could call them the fake pretenders in the West and all of that, because that label was hanging right there for people to dump on them, right there.
They become the Mariners, the 2001 Mariners.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, how in the world did this team make it, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
The Mariners have well, they won 118 games that season.
Yeah.
And then I think they got swept in the playoffs.
Yeah, by the Yankees.
Yeah, by the Yankees. And so you sit there and like, okay, they were fake the entire time.
So this Portland-Denver series has been so good and so competitive. You know, look, game 4 that was on Sunday, now I didn't watch all of game 4, but I watched enough. One, it was surprisingly good, given that they had played 4 overtimes the two nights before. given that they were all pretty exhausted, they were it was still efficient basketball. Now, I give credit to both Terry Stotts and Mike Malone for really making sure the teams just got away from basketball. Mike Malone, in particular, got away from basketball on Saturday in between games. Said to his guys, sleep, eat, have fun, don't do anything. We're not watching tape. We're not stretching. We're not going in for practice. No shoot around. No nothing. The next time I see you is when we'll get ready for the game. Like, that was great from a perspective for the Nuggets of, hey, listen, we got to rest up. We got just got to get away from this for a little bit. And they played a very clean basketball game. I mean, it was Jamal Murray, for example, scored 34 points in the last two games. Now, one was a four overtime, so there's a lot more opportunities, but he got another 34 in game four. So this Portland Nuggets series, it's on a little late for a lot of people. I get it. I think it's going to be a 9:30 start Central Time where I am, so it's 10:30 on the East. It's really late. But if you're looking for competitive basketball, that's the best series so far. That really has been the best series. And but I'm glad the NBA's we're at this point with the playoffs.
And probably the most fun, too. Because, I mean, it's because they've actually been playing quality.
Really quality, yeah.
Because when we talk about the Rockets-Warriors, even though that series has more star power, it still hasn't really been good basketball.
It hasn't been good basketball. That's been the problem. And I have thrown this idea out earlier, which is, I'm not going to take anything away from the Rockets and the two wins, but boy, if Golden State starts hitting their shots, the Rockets better hit more, right? I mean, they're not running away with the Warriors, who are shooting terribly in the last two games. They won game three in overtime and only think won by a few last night. They won by what, four last night. And the Warriors are going, Kevin Durant after game three was like, we're going to be all right. I mean, look, we almost won this and pretty much everybody except me was terrible, right? And in game three.
Can he say that?
I'd love for him to say that.
He's coming out. I was like, dude, you know what? I got mine.
Oh, God.
I'm getting mine. I don't know what those kids down there are doing, but I'm getting love mine.
God, wouldn't you like, remember what was the movie with Jim Carrey? Liar, Liar?
Yes.
He had to tell the truth. Wouldn't you love the ability of these guys to tell the truth? Where Durant's like, yes, I'm the best player on this team. Everyone stinks. They're lucky I'm here. They're lucky I'm making these shots for them. These games are not even close if I'm not playing well. They can't hit shots at all.
Yeah,
give it
watch.
To me at the elbow and
I'll
let me do
a
my
night
thing.
Off and you tell me what happens.
Yeah. How about tomorrow I just start clanging off the front rim? Then you'll see. You'll see how bad this team is without me.
What if I show up and Joel Embiid this game?
Yeah, right. Steph Curry, man. That's the fun thing about him is you never know. You never know. Like, game six could just come out lights ablazing.
Yeah.
The game five, I mean, just...
All of a sudden,
knocking him down.
The finger's not hurting as much as it once did. He's able to put that spin on the ball that he wants to, and he's just dropping him from 40 yards or 40 feet out.
That's right. That's
40
right.
yards probably, too. Let's, who are we kidding? You'd be making him 40 yards out.
Oh, he's crazy. He's that good. So good for the NBA to give us we're back to the competitive series. The first round, but I can excuse it. There's some bad not bad teams, but it's 7 and 8 seeds. What do you want? I mean, they're not gonna take the number ones and number twos to seven games, okay? Let's not what are they, the NHL? Never mind. It's a bad joke. All right. SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. 800-777-2907. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's when you spell it on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Kersey. Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Well, summer's here for most of us and on the way for the rest of you. In this era, most people don't even think about their car's cooling system. Now, experts say that you should change your coolant every 40,000 miles and your radiator hoses every 60. Because if a radiator hose blows, by the time you can get pulled over, you usually have damaged the engine, and that can get expensive. When was the last time that you had your coolant and radiator hoses checked or even replaced? I get emails every week from people that have been stranded with a failed radiator hose. Now, radiator hoses deteriorate from the inside. They can look great on the outside and be ready to blow right then. This can get really expensive, folks, but what's not horribly expensive is replacing them before they fail. There is no good day to be stranded. So let's think about doing a little maintenance before you have a problem. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. More tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Every legend starts somewhere, and yours can start today at the Jeep Celebration Event. With great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup, explore the unknown in the unforgettable luxury of Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Be prepared to take your adventures even farther with up to 31 MPG highway in Jeep Cherokee. Experience the joy of open-air freedom like never before through the available panoramic dual-pane sunroof of Jeep Compass. And no matter where your travels might take you, Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the year, is built to get you there. Start building your legend today. Hurry in for a great deal at the Jeep Celebration Event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. I saw this one other story that I wanted to get to, and it's political, so I want to be really careful. Before I do that, doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return the tool in its original condition, receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so Donald Trump wants to waive the service requirement, not really waive it, but delay it for athletes at service academies who want to go pro in the sport. They used to be able to do this, and then it got rescinded. So let's say you're a football player at Army, and you could play at the next level. You're good enough to play at the next level in the NFL. What happens is you have to go serve in the Army for 2 years, and then you can go back to the NFL. Well, sometimes that's a little too late. Maybe you don't get back in. Sometimes you do. And there used to be a waiver for that where you would serve later. You could serve at another time. And some guys, some service academy members have really gotten, I mean, not screwed. I don't want to say that because they knew what they were signing up for. But, you know, they had a chance to go play in the National Football League or play in the NBA, and they don't get to. But David Robinson was a naval guy, and he got to, you know, play for the Spurs. So Trump thinks it's fair because he was entertaining Army. They won the Commander in Chief's trophy, and he was entertaining Army. He says it's a good idea. He thinks it's fair that these guys should be able to go right to the pros and play and pursue their dream and then serve their country at another time when it's more, you know, advantageous to them. And I like the idea. I spent a good portion of my career in Colorado and a good couple of years at the Air Force Academy, where I did a number of athletic events for them and was part of their broadcast team for a variety of different sports. And I got to know them very well. I got to know the cadets very well. And I understood the commitment that they were making going to the Air Force Academy. But they also knew what was at stake and what they had to, you know, do and what kind of service was going to be required of them after they leave the military institution. So none of them went in there with false impressions or got tricked or duped. They all kind of knew what was going on. The only problem that I have with this, because on the surface, it seems like a really good idea, right? I mean, after all, if you're a special athlete that played for Air Force, or there's a couple of Air Force football players that, you know, could have signed with the NFL teams or Army or Navy or whatever, being able to play at the next level, you should be able to do that. But my question is, when Trump or anybody else, doesn't matter who the president is, says it's the fair thing to do, let me ask this question. Is it fair because they're athletes, or does that apply to everybody? Right? If you're in the Air Force, Navy, or Army, and you're at their academies, and you have an amazing gift for science or engineering or anything else, are you allowed to go do that professionally and then serve at another time? Or is it just athletes?
And I got another argument for you, too.
Go ahead.
What if you're a David Robinson type?
And, well,
with David Robinson, I mean, he went to the Naval Academy, right? Didn't he? The Admiral?
Yeah, I just said David Robinson went to the Naval Academy and played in the NBA because he got an exemption.
Right, but what if, I mean, but, you know, if it was under this rule, wouldn't he have to serve after his career?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
exactly.
And then you're talking about a guy who is, what, I mean, 37,
yeah,
38
that's true,
years
right?
old?
Yeah,
Hall
not,
of
yeah,
Fame career.
Exactly. Goes out and serves later?
I mean, does he do his 4 years? And I mean, when he goes in, I mean, you know, he's the admiral. He goes back from the admiral to ensign.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So, I mean, you know, it's. I think you know, it works for some of those athletes who, you know, because let's face it, I mean, you're not getting your top guys out of Army, Navy, or Air Force.
No, you're not. But you are. But here's the deal. But you are. Every once in a while there is, and this gets brought up all the time. Air Force had, I think, just recently had two players that drew NFL interest, but because they can't sign, they have to go. These teams are like, well, we'll just wait till you come back and maybe you'll play again. I don't know. Chad Hall played for the Eagles. He was an Air Force grad. He played for the Eagles for a bit.
Okay, I was going to.
Obama allowed an exemption. Got an exemption. Then it was rescinded a couple of years ago, and I think it's been a number of times. I don't think Staubach got an exemption. I think he had to serve before he came out of the Naval Academy. He served and then came in. So the number of guys who have had, have had this problem. And again, there's not a lot, but it does come up. Listen, to me, here's the deal. If an NFL team can find an NFL player at a Division II school, they certainly can find them at Army or
yes,
Navy or Air Force.
Course.
Right? I mean, let's not pretend that like every NFL guy is coming from a Power Five elite conference. I mean, if you know, Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State, right? Or, I mean, you can come out of nowhere.
Then Randy Moss, he went to a small school too, right?
Yeah, he went to Marshall.
Marshall.
Yep. So you certainly get it. And basketball, you know what's funny? When I was at Air Force, and I left never knowing if this was true, and I really regret it. I feel like calling my old PD, because he's the voice of the Falcons, and asking him if it's true. I used to hear all the time when I was with Air Force basketball, because if you look at a basketball roster at Air Force, it's the guys are like 6'6", 6'7", 6'5", 6'4", whatever. There's not a lot of 6'11", 7-footers. And they used to tell me that the reason was is because they don't make tall people. It's harder for them to become pilots in the jets.
No, I remember hearing about that.
And I thought that was weird. And I thought that, okay, it's like, well, not everybody's a pilot. They're like, yeah, but, you know, who wants to come to Air Force if you're 6'7"? You can't fly.
Yeah, I think there's a certain.
Is there some truth to that?
I think there's like a certain range. Height range.
I heard that all the time, and I was almost embarrassed to ask. Like, really? Is that why you don't recruit 6'11" basketball players? Because they can't fly jets? I'm like, you haven't built the jets big enough to like. No, they're like, no. There's no reclining seat. Let's make it a little bigger.
Yeah, that's like they got. I mean, here it is, straight from Air Force.
You looked that up, and yeah. It was there.
Fighter pilot qualifications. Pilots have to meet the Air Force height, weight, and physical condition requirements. They must be 64 to 77 inches tall.
Now that's it. There you go.
When standing, and 34 to 40 inches tall when sitting.
There you go.
So you can't have like 45 inch legs or something.
I never thought that was something I could look up.
And obviously, the weight, they have to weigh between 160 and 231.
Yeah, exactly. But back to my original. What if some like engineering company was like, well, we'd like to use you for like 2 years or 3 years out of the Naval. Can you say, well, you gave an exemption to Mike Jones, the linebacker, to play for the Lions. Can I go take my engineering talents to for a couple of years and then serve when I'm 32?
If you have a 6'7" guy, they don't get to be a pilot. They get to be the navigator.
That's true. They get to be the navigator. Right. Like, if you're 6'11" and you want to go to the Air Force Academy, you can go to the Air Force Academy.
So this just proves, again, we know that Airplane, the movie, was
yeah,
satire.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could never have been a pilot, apparently. Can you imagine if you got on a plane and your pilot was 7'2"? You know how the pilot stands in front of like, how you doing? Okay, have a good day. Have a good flight. And you just looked up and went, my God, is that guy ducking? What is that? Is that guy having to scrunch down? That's crazy. My God. It's nuts.
What is 77 inches? That's, I guess that's 6'5"?
That's 6'77". Yeah, that's 6'5". Yeah.
So you can be from, you have to be anywhere from 5'4" to 6'5".
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. So, I don't know. Personally, besides all some of the issues that get brought up, I'd like to see it happen. Some of these are finest student athletes on the in the country, and if they have a chance to play pro football for a little bit, or even in the NBA if they do, you know, they should. They will serve. They will not completely get out of not serving. They will serve. But you know, maybe this time that rule gets rescinded. Good, the bad, the dumb. Coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, bad, the dub here on a Tuesday. We did a little research, and David Robinson, what do we find out? He served two of the 4 years he was supposed to serve?
Yeah, well, this says the Spurs had to wait 2 years. Spurs had to wait 2 years, and then he got a waiver from the superintendent of the academy.
Okay, so he was going to serve four, but he only had to serve two.
Something like that, yeah.
And I'm sure they made him do some, like, yeah, go out and recruit kids. Like, make him come to the Navy.
Yeah, you're not putting him on the front line.
No, he's not in a submarine.
Although, well, you know what?
He
was a civil engineering officer at the Naval Submarine Base, Kings
Bay. I'm going to stop talking because I apparently don't know much about David Robinson's military career.
There's no way they put him in a sub.
I'm making assumptions. He's David Robinson. Like, this is when you heard, like, in the 40s where, like, an actor was, like, you know, John Wayne is summoned to war, and then you realize he didn't really go to war. He was like supporting the troops. He was like going around to bases, like Elvis Presley is. Like he was going around.
Bob Hope.
Yeah, he was like, let's go entertain the troops and make them feel good, and you know, do that. Well, they weren't putting him in the front line of anything. Like David Robinson was like, you listen, you're David Robinson. Go out and tell people how great Navy is.
Like okay, you can't make him. Shoot on the front line because he's, you know, even if he's hiding behind something, he's still too tall for it.
That's right. That's
right. Can't have him do that. Come on now.
All right. So the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's start with the good.
This is probably one of the greatest goods I think we've ever had.
Okay.
And I'm absolutely in love with it. I want a movie made of this.
Okay.
Joey and Nick Bosa's great grandfather was a gangster.
Oh, he was?
Who took bullets for Al Capone. And got the name Joey Batters for bashing in skulls with a baseball bat.
No, he did not. Really?
How fantastic is this?
Really? He was a gangster?
He was.
For Al Capone?
Yes.
Their grandfather.
The great-grandfather.
Oh, great-grandfather. Yeah.
His name is Tony Accardo.
That is great. Tony Batters, they called him?
That's what Al Capone gave him that nickname.
How great is
Joey
that?
Joey Batters.
Oh, Joey Batters. Why am I saying Tony Batters? Because I'm Tony. Never mind. Joey Batters. That's because he used to hit people with... Is that the inspiration for the movie Untouchables where Al Capone beat that guy up with a baseball bat?
Maybe.
Is that part of like when they researched the Al Capone story? They said, well, Al used to have a hitman named Joey Batters. He used to hit people over there with a baseball bat. Let's just give it to Al Capone in the movie when we write the script.
Because his two sons are going to be number one draft picks. We don't want to deal with that.
That's right. He's going to have great grandchildren. They're going to be number one draft picks in the NFL, first round picks. Let's make sure that they're somewhat protected in Hollywood lore.
No, it actually says in a scene later, bad word, in the 1987 film The Untouchables,
yep.
Accardo took the men out back before the main course was served and bashed their skulls in with a baseball bat. Now Capone, allegedly enthused by his protege, said, boy, this kid is a real Joey Batters, and the nickname stuck.
How great is that?
I mean, I need a life story. I need something
else. I do
else
too.
Now.
I need to know more about that.
And the craziest thing is, I mean, when Al Capone went down and he was, you know, Joey Batters, what did I say his name? Tony Accardo?
Yeah.
He never saw the inside of a jail, ever.
Oh, really? Wow.
Never.
That's surprising. That's wild.
So, but I mean, yeah, just reading up on this guy is like almost, I don't know. We need a lot more. I need to know a lot more from this guy.
That's great. That's great. Connection to Al Capone's fantastic.
I don't know why we're celebrating. It's like, most ruthless gangster in American history. And this guy was like, you know, his number one, number two guy or number three guy. His hitman, basically, with a baseball bat. And we're like, God, this is great. Make a movie.
I remember one time I owed the IRS money, and we had to be paid on a certain date, and I left it on the counter for my wife to mail, and she forgot it. And the next day I said, I just want to remind you something. Al Capone killed a lot of people, but he went to jail because he didn't pay his taxes. So make sure we get this out
exactly
in the mail. Like that's why he went to prison. He went to prison because he didn't pay his taxes. Okay, so let's just make that clear. Yeah,
this guy beat people's brains in with a baseball bat. Never saw the inside of a jail once.
That is amazing.
What does that tell you?
Oh my gosh!
Pay your taxes, but you know, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to go to jail. Beat someone's brains in with a baseball bat, you're fine.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
The bad of the day is an Instagram model tried to slide into Bryce Harper's DMs.
I saw this.
But sent it to his pregnant wife
instead. Clap, clap, clap. Well done.
You gotta know who you're sending it to, right?
She wrote on the Instagram message something like, let me be your stress relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Jordan. I'm just trying to be a stress reliever.
Yes, and the wife was like, all right, I'm responding to that one. Mrs. Harper.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Just throw a picture, maybe a pregnant belly photo. It's like, he's pretty okay.
God, it's got to be so hard to be a wife of a baseball player or somebody famous like that. They get propositioned all the time.
In a former life, I was a teacher, and some of the kids that I taught, their dad was a major league ball player.
Okay.
And he played for the Padres, and during this time he played for the Diamondbacks. I'm not going to say this name, but you can kind of deduct who it is eventually if you knew the teams back in the 90s. But the wife, his wife used to travel with him, and they would bring their kids around with them. So they lived half the year. This is when I was in San Diego. They lived half the year in San Diego, half the year in Phoenix during the time he was playing with the Diamondbacks. And then when they had long extended road games, not the little three-game road trips, you know, to L.A. or to, you know, San Francisco or anything like that, that was fine. But if they had an extended road trip, they would go with him because she didn't trust him.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be so hard to be.
And, you know, the truth of the matter, he was a really good-looking guy. And so, you know, yeah, he would probably be getting hit on by all the groupies.
And now it's easy for them to get to the players, right? Then now they can.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much easier with social media and everything, you know, like exactly where they are, where they're staying. You know how to get them on social media. You know how to hit them up with pictures. They just know how to do this. And it's so much better. And they're so much better. If you're a wife of one of these players, good for Mrs. Harper for striking back at the woman that was trying to ruin her marriage. And I don't know Bryce. Bryce might be the most loyal, most, you know, devoted husband in the world. God bless him if he is great. But she's taking no chances. I got the feeling that he is too, but she ain't taking any chances. She is striking back at those who are trying to get to her husband.
Well, because, you know, I mean, she has to know that they're on the daily. He's probably getting like 30 DM requests.
Oh, sure.
Easily. Constantly. Right? Just people just sliding, trying to. I'm probably butchering the terminology. Forgive me, America. but people are probably just sliding into his DMs all the time.
All the time, right?
You know, just
and you got to be really careful with that because sometimes they're setting you up. Like you can get set up with certain things and blackmailed with certain. Like if you have these certain pictures on your phone, you're not supposed to have. You got to be really careful. So you got to have some sort of way to monitor all that because you're going to get inundated once people know how to get a hold of you. They know how to get, you know, forget it. So good for her. I like the way she responded to that. Good for her.
The dumb of the day. We had talked about this earlier, and I was a little nervous about where you were going with it because I didn't want you to ruin my dumb.
Okay.
But HBO responded to the coffee cup.
Okay. What did they say about this? Because we didn't talk about their response.
Yeah, and this is why I'm saying it's dumb because, you know, the show is really known for its writing, correct?
Yeah, very well-written show.
So this is what they said. In response to inquiries from those who saw a craft services coffee cup in Sunday night's episode of Game of Thrones, HBO states, the latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea.
Very good. That's very funny. Well done.
I wanted it to be like the blood of some young imp or something.
No
you
kidding.
Know?
I know. That's well done. I did see a meme, which was really funny, that they showed a close-up of the cup, and in it was Daenerys, Breaker of Chains, Ruler of the Set, blah, 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 blah. Like the long list of that she has, like handwritten by a coffee, you know, a barista writing it on a Starbucks cup. I thought that was kind of funny. That was kind of neat. But, yeah, no, it's That's kind of a cool. You know what's sad though is that the episode was really good, and there's a lot of turning points in the episode. I mean, this is taken by storm.
Here's my thing of it. Was it? I mean, I do believe it was really good, but is it really good because the Battle of Winterfell was so terrible?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, it did feel like that, right?
Well, to me, the episode felt like two things really pushed together. Is like they're only doing six episodes in the final season.
Yeah,
and they got a lot
more
to do. So there's only two more, and even though they've gone a little longer than most, there's a lot, and I think they're hurrying it up, which you can sense. That last 30 minutes was a couple of days in their world that would just seem too tight. You know, it's like one minute a guy's on the ship, next minute he's on the land, next minute he's back on the ship, next minute he's on the land, next minute they're on another island, next minute, it's too much.
That was what was confusing. They were on a ship, the ship, everything gets destroyed, and then all of a sudden they're in a room planning. And
yeah,
it looked like
exactly.
They were in a castle. I'm like, where are they?
Yeah, that's right. They went back to the other island, which is on the other side of the world, and then they're like planning another attack, which is on the other side
and
of the world.
And then they just walked there.
It's too much. You got to slow down a little bit, but they don't want to. They want to just get these things done and wrap it up.
And, you know, they were able to go back, and then they were standing in front of the gate. It's like, man, what's taking John so long, dude? He took the long way.
I know.
God.
I know. By the way, one thing I did want to mention about the show, and this is not a spoiler in case you haven't seen it yet, but John doesn't really treat his direwolf very well, though. He needed to kind of pet the dog a little bit before he boogied off.
Yeah.
Got to give your dog some love.
And did you get the sense, I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but don't you get the sense that characters are already starting to say goodbye?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And it's not really like the character saying goodbye. It's actually the actor saying goodbye. I mean, because you forget. It's like, oh, okay, they're saying goodbye because, you know, the Battle of Winterfell is over. But they're actually saying goodbye because we're not going to see this guy anymore.
Real quick, when Happy Days ended, remember the television show Happy Days? When it ended, they had all gathered for the wedding of Joni and Chachi, and that's how Happy Days ended. And there was right when the show was right about to close, Tom Bosley, the guy who played the dad, he turned to the camera. He broke the fourth wall, right? And he says, and we want to thank all of you for being part of our family over these last whatever years. And he kind of breaks character. I kind of want Game of Thrones to do that at the end, where they're all fighting, and then they all stop and go, we just want to thank you for the last 7 years. You guys decide how this is going to end for us. We're out. And just leave. Because I don't know what I want. As a fan of the show, I don't know who I want to win. Like, I see evil and good in just about everybody, except maybe a couple of characters. But I don't know what I want at the end of this. I really don't. I'm not rooting for anything. And I'm just kind of wondering if at the end they just go, eh, whatever, you make it up. We're leaving. You figure it out. We're going to leave it ambiguous. After 7 years, you figure it out.
You always get the sense that at some point Viserys is just going to assume the Iron Throne.
I know.
Just, like, he's backstabbing everybody. And why not? He just slides in. He's like, yeah, that's mine.
Why not? There are people I like, and then I don't like, then I like again, and then I mean, it's been a ride. It's been a good show. So two more episodes left, right? Two?
Two.
Is that all we got? My God.
Yeah. You said six episodes. We're four in.
By the way, I want to thank my sister for dragging me down this rabbit hole years ago when she kept bugging me why I wasn't watching it. Then I finally gave in and watched it. Now I can't get enough of it.
And I'm going to thank America for pressuring me.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I haven't seen all the episodes, to be quite honest. I've seen all of season 8, and I'm towards the end of season 3.
This is you. This is like you went for the dessert first before you got to the main meal. Yeah,
I totally did. I want to see how it ends before it begins.
You're probably better off than all of us. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. You're on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, Odell Beckham says he's really excited to be in Cleveland. You're going to win multiple championships. They're going to be the New England Patriots. Slow down, Odell, but I like the enthusiasm. He really likes Baker Mayfield. Says he's the new Brett Favre. In a recent interview. Boy, he's all in, isn't he? He's drinking the Kool-Aid. He is all in on the Cleveland Browns. I've never seen an athlete more happy to be in Cleveland than Odell Beckham. Has anybody been more happy to be in Cleveland other than LeBron than Odell Beckham? I got to think it's him. I mean, he's thrilled. But then again, I mean, this is America's new team now. This is what we're all going to be watching. The new 11-5 Cleveland Browns for this upcoming season.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. My goodness. But he's got to be excited, right? A couple of LSU guys around him. Baker Mayfield could throw him the ball. He doesn't have the Giants drama, right? You can feel in just reading the quotes of what he's saying and talking about turning this franchise around, you can just feel the enthusiasm, which is just fantastic. Listen, you love it when athletes love to be a part of your team, right? You love it when athletes are embracing what you're embracing as a fan. You want that, you know? I don't care what city you're in. When they love your city as much as you love your city, and they haven't been there as long, or they didn't grow up there, but they're just embracing it anyway, it's fantastic. So Odell's going to be great. You know, Odell's doing the right thing here. He's really beefing up the Browns. He's really bringing a lot of attention. He's being a good Brown representative, if you will. You know, I mean, it's fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch this season, because if they stumble out of the gate, God, I wonder
how
much
of this. They're not going to stumble. They're America's team, Tony. You got to have faith in America's team.
By the way, did you see Tom Brady's recent quote about when they asked him why he takes team-friendly deals all the time?
No.
And he said that because he likes to win and it helps their team win. And he goes, oh, and by the way, my wife makes a lot of money.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
That's pretty blatant. That's pretty obvious, but it's nice to throw that out there every now and then.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, to be able to say, I'm not the breadwinner. I may be a six-time Super Bowl champion, go down as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I'm not the breadwinner in the family.
I'm not making $1 billion like somebody else in this house.
She's been, what, she's been making... I guess that'd be nine figures for probably the better part of a decade.
Yeah, right?
That's sick.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Ridiculous.
He's probably like, hey, honey, can I borrow $2 million? Do they have separate checking accounts? Do you think it's all joint?
Nah, it's all
joint.
It's
a big joint checking account.
It's a joint.
Bring it together.
There's no prenup.
I'm sure her lawyer is like, make sure you separate this in case Tom ever goes squirrely. You want to make sure you get out of this clean.